Stephen, I am so happy to be with you. You've been very important in my own spiritual growth, and I've used your meditation tapes for years, and so to be making a tape with you today is very exciting to me. One of the things that I noticed over the years in being in a 12-step community was that, first of all, the 12 steps, as we've had a spiritual awakening, having had a spiritual awakening, and that the 11th step talks about we sought through prayer and meditation to increase our conscious contact with God as we understand God. And yet I sat in meetings for 25 years and really not been aware of anyone knowing a very precise way to meditate. And so I've thought that it would be a wonderful idea to try to create a meditation tape that would be useful for people in 12-step programs.
Well, John, I'm real happy to be here with you today as well. When I first heard you leading a guided meditation, I was struck not only by the power of your words, but with the lyrical power of your voice. I started hearing in my head musical orchestrations to accompany your instrument. I knew we were supposed to record together. But this tape is much more than that. It's an extension and expansion of both our work into the common ground of meditation and prayer that links the recovery movement and the New Age movement. You know, what we're really talking about when we use the word meditation is a technique with which we can access a deeply relaxed, psycho-spiritual state of peace, harmony, and attunement. And although there are many forms of meditation, most of them share an essential truth. The body is predisposed to being in that state. So meditation is really much simpler and less mysterious than most people might think. Indeed, what ancient philosophers, mystics, and modern-day scientists have been telling us is that what I call our human instrument, our body, mind, and spirit, is genetically pre-programmed to resonate around the harmonics of 8 cycles per second. This just happens to lie in the deep alpha brainwave range and just happens to be in the same fundamental frequency as the Earth itself. That's why deep relaxation and meditation is so powerful. When we go inside and are in this state of resonance and attunement, we are more able to tune in and receive the energies of the universe and of our own higher power.
Yeah, now that's beautiful the way you said that, because addicts are so oriented toward the outside. The belief system of an addict is, I'm not okay unless I have alcohol, unless I have sex, unless I have this relationship, this romance. I'm not okay unless I have money or things or whatever, so that there's no inner way to generate happiness. And that's what we've been calling codependency, or what I call toxic shame, which is like having no relationship with yourself on the inside. It always amazed me to sit in taverns in my own alcoholism and hear that kind of whining in myself and in other addicts of really, I thirst, I need, I want, I thirst. And there's that empty, lonely, shame-based child in there that is calling out. But because we've been toxically shamed, we have no relationship with ourselves and can't go inward. And that's the spiritual bankruptcy.
And you know, it's obviously not coincidence that an essential part of virtually every major religion has been a technology for going inward. They've all included a variation of the axiom, be still and know. And at this time in history, with so much distress and so much dis-ease, where people need to be more in balance and comfortable, it's interesting that one of the stock phrases of our times is just say no might really be a misreading of the ancient axiom, be still and know, because the answer really lies inside.
Yes, that's beautiful. And so that's the idea of helping people to know how to create that inner silence. And I guess the thing that's amazed me, and you know a lot about this, I know in reading your Sound Health book and listening to you in other contexts, is that there's a great deal of evidence from the behavioral sciences that support that we have this higher kind of life, this higher kind of possibility, and that when we're in touch with this larger consciousness, we have available to us a kind of an intuitive ability to know immediately both ourselves and our higher power, whatever that may be to someone. Be still and know that I am. And some people say, be still and I am, know that I am God. But whatever we call God, God as you understand God, and that's one of the beautiful things of the 12-step traditions, that it's allowing people to have that their own personal discovery of whatever they consider their higher power to be. So it's beautiful that by creating the silence, and I think that's why that 11th step is there. We saw through prayer and meditation to increase our conscious contact, that only in the silence can you have that kind of intuitive connection.
And yet, where in our present world can we really experience silence? Silence is no longer just a virtue, but it's a necessity. And yet, noise pollution is a social disease. The last several centuries, the environmental din has gotten louder and louder every year, which makes it harder and harder to experience that silence for ourselves. Nowadays, it really is a challenge. You really have to work at it to create the silence for yourself. And that's precisely why we need deep relaxation and meditation techniques. Two of the easiest and most effective methods are through an awareness of breath and using specially composed music.
Yes, I've been amazed at the experiments we've done together when you've gotten on the stage and shown how certain pieces of music can weaken people and certain other frequencies of music can strengthen people. And one day when you were doing that, I started thinking of barroom scenes and the hassle of troubled relationships, addictive relationships, and people that have grown up in sexual abuse and violence who've become sex addicts and addicted to violence. And wow, you know, how important it is to be able to get to this inner place. And it's what I feel is very important in the great recovery movement that's going on now, is to give people all the aids that are possible to get to that inner place. Certainly am not implying we want to try to tell somebody that the way they meditate or do the 11th step is not okay. But I sort of say it like this. In the beginning, I needed some guides. I needed a sponsor. And that my sponsor really didn't know about meditation. He couldn't have taken me there. So it's valuable for me, it was valuable for me to go to you and to others to find some ways to learn how to meditate.
Well, it's always been a major point of fascination for me that some of the most important aspects of being, human being, and a process that is so fundamental to our well-being, is something that we get virtually no instruction in school, in our work, or most any part of our education. But if we take the time to ask the body in the language of the body and really listen, our bodies will tell us that they choose the harmonious patterns that are created in deep relaxation and meditation rather than the random arrhythmic and dissonant patterns that we have in noisy environments or just everyday activity. Again, the bodies have their own built-in tuning. This is something that comes with the programming. When you give the body a choice, it chooses harmony and balance. Interestingly, in this state, the physical organs and the circulatory systems and the energy centers of the body are literally in tune, all working together in phase with each other. It's as if they are suddenly all playing to the beat of the same conductor. That really gives another meaning to the phrase organ recital, doesn't it?
Yes, I just think that's fascinating. And you know, thinking about sitting in stinking taverns, I remember playing Make the World Pass Away one day, and the at the Chesterfield Lounge, you know, and sitting there for probably 7 hours. And imagine what that does to your spirit or your soul. The other thing that I've been very interested in, and we will do this in this meditation, is breathing, helping people to focus on breathing. How growing up in dysfunctional families, we have been, it is so threatening to have an alcoholic dad or a violent dad or an incesting mom or dad, and that a child lives in constant distress, which means that the breathing becomes very shallow, and this becomes an unconscious process, that the person no longer is aware that they don't breathe deeply, that they're not taking in full range of oxygen. And so the meditation is a time to pause and to really focus and become conscious of breathing and to learn to slow down.
One of the reasons it's so hard to slow down relates to the phenomenon of rhythm entrainment. This means that the natural rhythm of our body will be overridden in the presence of an external rhythmic stimuli, which could be anything from music you listen to, your refrigerator, a passing freight train, whatever. Automatically, our body will be synchronized, it will lock in step and in phase, and literally be entrained to the beat of a different drummer. You can verify this for yourself by feeling your heartbeat or pulse. So when I clap my hands, if I speed it up, your heartbeat will be speeding up. And if I slow it down, your heart will be slowing down. And this can happen virtually instantaneously. Now, most of the music that we hear is obviously not designed to help us connect with our higher power. Indeed, many of the predominant rhythms that we hear in popular music today are opposite to the natural beat of the heart. And that relates to why the rhythm is so weakening and stressful, because it confuses the body and literally is working against the natural tendencies of the body. And it's not enough to say that any classical music will suffice to assist the body in healing itself and setting its own deep relaxation state, because most classical music was not designed and composed with that intent. And you know, that's really what got me involved in this whole line of research and line of composition. As a good type A person living in New York, I needed something to help me relax. I needed something that was legal, non-addictive, had no harmful side effects, and was something that I could do for myself when I needed it at home. I tried listening to a wide variety of music, and it just didn't work. And yet, as I would read in the Bible, David soothing Saul with music. We read back in some of the historical records that music was used in ancient China and Tibet and Egypt. We knew there's a long history of using music as a viable means for helping people to relax, to soothe the spirit.
In response to what you're saying there, it amazed me listening to Goleman at Harvard one time talking about studying every meditation technique he could find and then coming back and just teaching the graduate students to focus on breathing, just to be mindful of breathing, and how within a couple of months their overreactions had lessened, how much more peaceful and less nervous they were. And that really touched me as an addict, a recovering addict, because we tend to be codependent, shame-based people, tend to be so reactive. And then the other thing that has been so important to me about meditation is the giving up control. We have phrases in the program I was in called let go and let God, turn it over, self will run riot, so we have to turn it over. That whole idea of trying to control everything. And in this meditation, I'm going to be really encouraging people to just listen, this passive volition, just be there and let it come to you. Enlightenment, insight, let it come to you rather than trying to control it. And man, people who are codependent, adult children, really need to learn how to do this.
That's such a good point. And of course, that's one of the classic differences between prayer and meditation. In prayer, we're asking for something. In meditation, we're listening.
Yes. Yes, and I'll put a, you know, in the other side, what you will listen to, we will have a part where you can pray or meditate. When you get to that place of connection, you can either ask or you can sit there and receive. It's been, meditation has been more important for me in the later stages of my recovery. Having my higher power and praying was enormously important the first 5 years. But what I found after about 10 years is that I needed to really work at the meditating and to create this quiet inner place for me. A lot of what's happened to me in the last 10 years has come out of really meditating and creating this quiet place within myself. Very much what you were describing earlier. In hindsight, you know, I realize now if I had known some ways to meditate, and it's one of the motivations for doing this tape, that I could have started meditating a lot earlier on. And it's not really prayer against meditation. It's both and. But the meditation work would have helped me very early on, because it is so clear to me now that addictions are about spiritual vacuum, spiritual bankruptcy, inner emptiness, having no inner life. That's the importance of getting into this spiritual work. You know, one of the things that happens, of course, when we're toxically shamed is that we create a false self, which has been called the ego. And that's that idea of self-will run riot, that addicts try to control and they're egocentric. And of course, we are. My analogy to it is that if you have a chronic toothache, all you think about is your tooth. When you're empty inside and spiritually bankrupt, all you think about is you. And so that idea of letting go of the ego and turning it over and letting go and letting God, that's slogans that are used throughout the 12-step programs. Those connect with these great spiritual traditions of non-attachment and flowing with the river, those kinds of things.
There's another thing you say about the fruits of the recovery.
I think that as a person goes to meetings and listens and shares, that the fruit is to open you up to a larger consciousness. And I guess one of the things that's amazed me about meditation and the research that's been done on it, I know you've been connected with some of the Stanford research people and higher, you know, the kind of powers that we know the mind has. But when people think of higher power and 12-step groups, that we really know that when you're in that state of serenity and quiet, you're connected to all other consciousness, and that there is a higher power available. And we know that because mind and matter are both energy, that higher consciousness is purposeful and can get you the things you need, that those resources will be there. And people witness to this all the time in 12-step program. I turned it over and it came to me. I let go and let God, and everything was okay. And of course, again, this is amazing because the spiritual masters have been teaching this, and your research has been showing why this happens.
John, in your books and workshops, you have such an eloquent way of expressing the ultimate goal of recovery. I think it would really be a nice way of tying this all together if you just share a few of those thoughts with us now.
Yeah, I guess the thing that has been real important to me, too, is to understand that people can get stuck at stages in their recovery, and they may get stuck just going to meetings and not moving on, are stuck only going over their abuse issues, are stuck in their feeling work, and that the real goal, the real fruits of the work, is to move on to empowerment, to your own bliss. What Joseph Campbell says, choosing your own life, doing what you want with your very own life. That's the goal of the work, is to have this inner place where you know yourself, you know who you are, you're choosing your own life, and you're moving toward empowerment. So what we're going to do now is offer you two meditations, one of about 15-minute duration, which would be a daily meditation that a person could use, hopefully, regularly. The other is a short 5-minute meditation, and I've geared this to something that would have really helped me and helps me now, but it would have helped me so much in the beginning, just to have a short 5-minute meditation that I could use during the day, where I could remind myself that to just live one day at a time. So there's two meditations that you're going to hear on the other side, a long one and a short one. Let's do it. Close your eyes and get in a nice, comfortable position. And just allow yourself to become mindful of breathing. Notice the air as it comes in, and as it goes out. And just allow yourself to relax. Just for now, there's no place you have to go, and there's nothing you have to do. You can just be. Allow yourself to just be. You can remind yourself just for today, I'll practice rigorous honesty. And I'll pay attention to my feelings. And I'll express my feelings truthfully. And I'll ask for what I want. And I'll say what I think. And now I'll be very still and listen to my higher power. now listening to my higher power. Today I'll choose to live in accordance with my higher power. And so once again, just focus on your breathing. Just be mindful of breathing in and breathing out. And now take a nice deep breath. And breathe it out. And just gently wiggle your hands and your toes. And just realize that you're coming back to your normal waking consciousness, listening to the music until it's finished. And as it finishes, just open your eyes. Just find yourself a nice, relaxed place where you won't be disturbed. And it's important to be comfortable throughout the whole experience. And as you listen to the music, just focus on your breathing. Just allow yourself to become mindful of breathing. And as you breathe in and out, just notice the air as it comes in and compare it with the air as it goes out. Notice what happens in your body when you breathe. And breathe all the way into your eyes and feel if there's any tension there and breathe it out. Breathe in around your jaws. Notice if there's tension there and breathe it out. breathe down into your neck and your shoulders. Breathe out any tension you may find there. Take a nice deep breath, breathing all the way in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Hold it. 1, 2, 3. And now just let it out very slowly. Breathe down into your buttocks and breathe out any tension you find there. Breathe down into your knees. Breathe out any tension that you find there. Breathe in and breathe out through your fingertips and through your toes so that your whole body is relaxing. Your whole body is letting go. Just for now, there's no place you have to go. There's nothing you have to do. Just be in your own inner experience. And just allow yourself to go to a place, some special place that you know about. It may be a special room you have. Maybe a beach or a lake or a mountain, someplace in the desert. Just go there now. Look around. See what you see. Hear what you hear. Feel what you feel. Higher power to be there with you. Don't try to control the image that comes to you. Just allow it to come to you. Just accept what comes to you, unless it frightens you. If it frightens you, tell it to go away. But allow your higher power, your God, as you understand God, to come to you. And just be there, be open, listening, receiving. Thank you. Conscious of your own higher power, just gently touch your thumb to one of your fingers on either hand. So that you have a connection with that experience. So that later in the day or at some other time, you can touch your thumb to your finger and have that conscious contact. And now take a deep breath and relax your hand. And pray if you wish. Express your gratitude, your love, your thanks for the gifts of your life. Maybe you need to ask for something. Ask for it. Ask for it. Listen to the promises from your higher power. If you are painstaking about your recovery, your journey to wholeness, you will know a new freedom and a new happiness. You will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. You'll comprehend the word serenity, and you'll know a new peace. And no matter how far down the scale you've gone, you'll see how your experience can benefit others. The feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. You'll lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in your fellows. Your whole attitude and outlook on life will change. Fear of people and economic insecurity will leave you. You will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle you. You'll realize that I'm doing for you what you could not do for yourself. Put your hand in your higher power's hand, and together you can do what you could never do alone. And so now ask your higher power into your heart. Be as close to you as the air you breathe. Feel that connection, that conscious contact. And just be there now in your special place. Take a nice deep breath. Take another deep breath, and as you breathe out, just gently wiggle your fingers and your toes. Feel the life spark come back into your body.
up through your legs and up through your buttocks and upper chest. Feel the life come back into your brain and be aware that you're coming back to your normal consciousness. Look out on the horizon and see the number one. Remember your anchor, that when you touch it, you'll have a conscious contact with this higher power. And now see the number two. And now the number three. And just very, very slowly now, very slowly open your eyes.